Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, all physical goods on the European market are to be more environmentally friendly and energy efficient throughout their whole life cycle, from the design phase through to daily use. It's a new plan from the EU. It looks at electronics, textiles and furniture, among other things. Clare Downey is Policy and Research Director at the Rediscovery Centre, and she joins me on the line for more on this. Good morning to you, Clare.
Good morning, Guy.
So the new package, it's to end the cycle of make, break, throw away. Are there any products that are exempt, or does it cover everything?
Yeah, the aim is to really affect the broad range of consumer products that we have on the market. So, you know, electrical, electronic goods, as you said, textiles, furniture, mattresses, tires, paints, all sorts of things. The only areas that this new package won't affect probably is food, feed and medicinal products. They're the ones that are exempt.
Okay, and everything else is in there. Will we take a look at white goods, for example? They're going to have to be longer lasting, is that right? And how will that work?
Yeah, so the package is looking at updating a number of different regulations and directives, and one of them is the eco-design regulations. So these already look at white goods and how they can be both more energy efficient, and we've already seen that in the market with the energy scoring, the efficiency scoring, the A to E. And they're also now already requiring that the products are better designed, that they can be easily repaired, and that spare parts are available, and that the, I suppose the information about how to repair them is also readily available. So they're already part of, I suppose, the current regulations, and what this package is going to do is expand it not just to more of our electrical goods, but also to a really broad range of other products as well, as including textiles, as you said.
Yes, I mean, that's great for the consumer, great for the environment, but for the manufacturers and their business model, I mean, they must be relying on us replacing those goods at regular intervals.
Yes, of course, but I suppose this focus on design is really important, and it's an area we work on in Rediscovery Centre, including through our fashion workshop, because about 80% of the impact of all of our products happens when we extract the raw materials and process them and manufacture components and parts. So it is hugely important that we look at this area, and I think there are a lot of supports in place to, you know, help with innovation, new research into how we can do this better and support manufacturers in the journey. But I think it's inevitable that we need to be moving this way.
And this will be enforced at a local level, so in each of the member states. How will it work here in Ireland, Clare?
Yes, yeah, so we're already seeing it, as I said, with the eco-design regulations. It's just one of a number of legislative pieces that will be updated from what happened yesterday, the new package. But, for example, now any dishwashers and washing machines that are placed on the market now have to meet the eco-design requirements. So they have to be designed in a way so that they don't, for example, break when you try to repair them. There has to be spare parts made available to repair centres, and also the information on how to repair them. So that's already happening, I suppose, in the background. And as I said, what this will do is extend it to other things. There are a number of other measures in addition to that kind of design piece, for example, and even specifically looking at textiles. The package is going to try and control greenwashing a bit more. For example, a recent screening of claims in the industry has found about 40% of the claims around how green your textiles are could be false or deceptive. So they'll tackle that kind of thing, and also require better labelling, including what products are made of, their durability and their repairability. We've seen some great examples in France of repairability scoring. So when you buy something, you can see already how easy is it to fix down the line if you need to. So all of those are really being proposed under this package.
It's worth getting a reminder when it comes to clothes, just how much of an impact the fashion industry has on the environment.
Yeah. It's absolutely huge. I mean, the more you look at it, the more you kind of see the incredible scale of impact of our textile industry. The climate impact of making all the clothes and other textiles, there's curtains and cushion covers and the fabrics on couches and so on, in terms of how much we consume in Europe, is the fourth highest of any sector. And it's really, it's equivalent to all global emissions associated with shipping and aviation. So it is really, really significant. And it's not just the climate impact associated with, you know, growing all our cotton and fertilizing it and extracting the plastics which go into the synthetic fibers like polyester and nylon. But it's also about water use, which is a huge water use in dyeing clothes and making clothes, and land use. And there's a really significant social impact as well in terms of the sector is the third largest employer in the world. And in many places, it also supports child labour and gender inequality, although, of course, a lot of those practices are being phased out.
So what else will be phased out on the head of this when it comes to fast fashion? Are we going to see products that would be considered fast fashion slowly weeded out, meaning that the quality of clothes available to us might be more expensive, but they will last for a longer period of time?
Yeah, we absolutely, this package should see better design, but also better information. As I said, there's going to be more labelling and information on what your clothes are made of, probably some work on how we can get more uniform sizing, and then also how long clothes can last.
Can I just stop you there on sizing, Claire? Why is that an issue?
Well, if you go into the second-hand market for clothing, you'll see sizing is so different between brands, and even confusing because you're given different numbers in different countries, if you like. So in the UK, you might have a sizing, you know, 8 to 16, and in the continent, you have numbers in the 40s, and in the States, you have sizes 2 to 8. So everything is labeled differently, and I guess this package will look at, can we get some more easily understandable sizing information for people?
And the other issue, of course, as well in the fashion industry, and it's not just fast fashion, it's all the way up to the luxury goods. The destruction of unsold goods is an extraordinary scandal, really, isn't it, Claire?
Yes, absolutely. And this package includes measures to stop that destruction. So if there's end-of-season stock, for example, sometimes brands would have destroyed that rather than have it sold, you know, or at lower price, or find other ways for it to be used because it kept the value of the brand. So that is going to be really weeded out, and initially through a sort of transparency obligation requiring companies to disclose how much they're discarding or destroying.
And is there mention of microplastics in textiles and dealing with those, getting rid of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of the design requirements are going to look at inclusion of recycled fibres, as I said, durability and repairability, and also really tackling that accidental release of microplastics that's associated with synthetic fibres. So that will include things like making sure that the textiles are properly washed and treated before they're placed on the market, so they don't release them from your domestic washing machines.
Ultimately, though, this will come down to consumer demand, you know, and what all of us do when we're buying clothes and stopping us from going in and buying them as regularly as we do.
Yes, indeed. And I know cost is a big discussion point as well, and in your previous interview, but even with the clothes becoming cheaper and cheaper, and the whole, I suppose, fast fashion driving short life trends and so on, we actually spend more of our household budget than we used to on clothing. So this is really down to how much we're consuming in terms of the quantities we're consuming, as opposed to how much we're spending on clothing.
I just want to go back to those items that we use, the hardware that we use in our lives, the smartphones, the tablets. I mean, they're the things that people will want to upgrade every few years, Claire. I mean, will these new measures affect their production?
Yes, they'll affect their design. So ideally what you would end up with is a product that is a little bit more modular. So instead of replacing a whole product, you might replace the camera part, or you might replace the casing so it's a different colour and it feels different. Some of the reasons why we upgrade are also because of software incompatibility. And so with better design, you can ensure that that can be more easily updated on the equipment that you already have.
Well, you've identified a problem there, because I have a phone with a big crack across the screen. And, it's really expensive to have the screen replaced. That's number one. And also, You're never fully sure that the phone is going to work in the same way that it did prior to having the screen replaced.
Yeah, absolutely. So ideally then you would have a phone where the screen is very easy to replace. You could do it at home or you can do it at very low cost. I suppose the reason why the cost can be high in repair centres is because of the time it takes. It's really a labour cost. And if it takes a long time to replace a part, then it's going to cost more. But if it's made easier, like, for example, the Fairphone, which you may have heard of, which is a very modular, very easily repairable phone, you know, it really doesn't take that much time. And so it's much cheaper to fix.
Claire, great to talk to you. Claire Downey from the Rediscovery Centre. And a quick reminder before we go that next Tuesday we'll be joined by our probate expert, Solicitor Elaine Byrne. She's going to answer your questions as usual. So if you have any questions about making a will or associated issues, get them into us now, todaycb@rte.ie. That's all for today. Thank you for listening. Today's programme was produced by Deirdre Lyon, researched by Amy Ryan. Our broadcast coordinator is Louise Kerr Ross. Tommy O'Sullivan was on sound, and it's over now to Shea Byrne.